Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of Lockdown Clippers. I'm your host, Lucas Ann. Today is Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, and it is a dark day, although maybe not as dark as yesterday was, since yesterday was the day when the Clippers actually got shellacked by the Houston Rockets, 122-103. Now, a 19-point loss is bad, and a 19-point loss to a team directly above you in the standings is worse. But what's worst of all is that it really wasn't a 19-point game. It wasn't that close for pretty much the entire second half. So we'll get into that a little bit. I don't want to get too much into the specifics of the game, but we'll get into kind of what it means. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Warriors losing Kevin Durant and what that could possibly mean, as well as Matt Barnes signing with the Warriors, you know, kind of bring it all back together, pointing towards what the Clippers do moving forward now in these last 6 weeks of the season post meltdown at home against the Houston Rockets. This is our second to last episode of the week. As you well know, we are here Monday through Friday with brand new episodes, so we will be back next week with 5 new episodes. And then we'll be back tomorrow getting ready for the Clippers playing the Milwaukee Bucks, which is a game that takes place tomorrow night in Milwaukee. And that's that. So, you know, let's get into, to the extent that we're going to talk about it, let's talk about this Rockets game. Now, the Clippers played well early, or at least on offense they played well early, and they took a 37-34 lead into the second quarter. Now, the problem, and I said this on Twitter because in the early part of the game, I was tweeting from the Clips Nation account at Clips Nation SBN, and I said, the Clippers scoring 37 points in a quarter is great, but the fact that we just had a 37-34 quarter means that this game is being played at a pace that significantly favors the Houston Rockets' style of play, and that turned out to be true in that in the second quarter, the Rockets kept on going. They scored 36 and the Clippers dropped off. They only scored 21. And in the third quarter, the Rockets kept on going. They scored 38 and the Clippers dropped off and they scored 20. And the fourth quarter, was entirely garbage time. So even though the Clippers won the quarter by 11, it almost doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's not like, you know, Austin Rivers hitting a three-pointer with 3 minutes left really matters for how badly the Clippers got shellacked. I said that word already. It's like the Rockets hit them with the haymaker tonight. So it wasn't great. It wasn't a great performance for the Clippers. Probably the worst thing may have been the rebounding. It was the Rockets had 62 rebounds and the Clippers had 36, and against a team like the Rockets, that's an area where you need to win. For DeAndre Jordan to have less rebounds in 35 minutes than Clint Capella had in 26 isn't acceptable. Nene had more rebounds than DJ, and Nene played 22 minutes off the bench. Actually, both of those, DJ was the Clippers' leading rebounder too. So Capella and Nene both had more rebounds than Clippers' leading rebounder. And Patrick Beverley, the Rockets' point guard, had 12 rebounds. Now, what might even be worse than the fact that DeAndre only had 9 and got out-rebounded by both of Houston centers is that Blake Griffin, in 35 minutes, only had 4. Chris Paul only had 2 in 36 minutes, and Chris Paul is a guy who you normally expect to be a pretty good rebounder. And another part of the problem was that the bench was so unreliable. The Clippers went to the bench, and immediately within the first 5 minutes of the second quarter, Houston had gone on an 18-7 run to turn a 3-point deficit into an 8-point lead, and at that point, they never looked back. And once the Clippers starters came back in midway through the second quarter, down 13, Houston just scores so much that it's hard to come back against them. Because no matter how much you score, they're always scoring two. So it's hard to come back against them. We see this sometimes even just against normal teams that don't have prolific offenses like the Houston Rockets. But when a team finally gets in a groove and tries to come back into a game and they're scoring 4 or 5 possessions in a row, but they don't get stops on the other end, the margin stays the same. You have to score and then get a stop and then score again and then get another stop before you actually start making progress and come back into a game. And it's hard to do that against the Rockets because they're just so good offensively. And they hit 23-pointers tonight, which is great even for them. But they also attempted 52, and that speaks largely to a systemic problem with the Clippers' defense and their strategy. And I think the rebounding aspect is just, frankly, embarrassing to a team that you should be more physical than, to be out-rebounded by literally 26 rebounds at home is awful. I think at one point someone tweeted me, it was like 42-19 on the glass. That is horrendous. And then the Clippers only got to the free throw line 13 times compared to 33 for the Rockets. And the Rockets missed 5 and the Clippers missed 6. So the Rockets shot 20 more free throws than the Clippers and missed 1 less. That's just, you know, that's what it is. Now, obviously this is bad, but I think it takes a lot of nuance to break down really what a bad loss means in the course of a season. And you can't say that every game is just one game, because at a certain point it means something beyond we lost a bad game. But it also can be hard to exactly pinpoint where that is. The Clippers played poorly but beat Charlotte. They played poorly and lost to San Antonio and Golden State, and now they played poorly and lost to the Houston Rockets. Is this just a bad game? Did they have a bad night? Is it a bad matchup against the Rockets? Because that's something that could be significant going forward as far as playoff matchups go. And to the extent that we know, it really could be, because the Rockets this year are like a completely reinvented team. So prior matchups don't mean much. And the first time they played, the Rockets blew the Clippers out, but the Clippers were without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. So you can't really count that game for anything. In this game, the Clippers were healthy, and the Rockets blew them out. And the next time that these teams play, it's at least somewhat likely that at least one, if not both of them, will be resting guys for the playoffs with their seeding already locked. And so with that being the case, this is really the only game we have to go off of. So is it a bad game for the Clippers? Is it a bad matchup? Who knows? And it could also still be that the team is reassimilating Chris Paul into the lineup. Because as much as it hurts a team when a guy who, you know, Chris Paul basically controls the basketball every single possession for the Clippers, it hurts to lose that guy because you lean on him for so much. But then it can also be a little tricky to when that guy comes back, because now you, all the guys who were doing that have to do other things. You know, Austin Rivers was the guy on offense. He can't be the guy on offense anymore. He got 12 shots tonight. He played well, but it's not like when he was the starting point guard on the team, you know, being able to at least shoot 15, 18 times a game, go for 20 points. Raymond Felton is in a different role now, too, because he's only playing lead guard with the second unit. And when otherwise he's on the floor, he has to figure out how to play next to a legendary point guard. So it's not an easy thing, and that's not an excuse. It's not say, oh, the Clippers lost because they were reassimilating Chris Paul. They played poorly, and they didn't play with what you would call excellent effort or fire, and that's definitely disappointing. But the Chris Paul reassimilation thing might be a factor. That's the point that I'm trying to make with that. So this loss to the Rockets, basically what's significant about it, more than the fact that the Clippers played poorly or that the Rockets look like they might be a bad matchup for the Clippers, what's really significant about this loss is that it essentially kills the Clippers' chances of getting a 3 seed. If you're a regular listener, then you know that I talked a lot about this chase for the 3 seed and how it potentially started with this game against the Rockets, with the Clippers pulling the head-to-head battle even at 1-1, so they make the last game basically deciding for the tiebreaker, but also pulling the Clippers within striking distance with Houston having tough games coming up. But a big part of within striking distance is that you have to strike. Striking in this sense would be winning a bunch of games, and winning a bunch of games only really happens if you're playing well. And because the Clippers aren't playing well, you know, there goes that. But, you know, statistically the 3 seed isn't gone, but I'm not going to say that there's necessarily hope there now, because the Clippers are 5 games back in the loss column. But because of the tiebreaker, they're essentially 6 games back. So if I was in some fantasy where the Clippers were going to go 20-3 and the Rockets were going to go 14-8, now you need the Clippers to go 20-3 and the Rockets to go 12-10. So it's possible if there's some sort of complete meltdown, but it's not going to be a feasible, reasonable goal. It's no longer... I thought before it was something where the Clippers could have looked at it, and if they had won last night's game, they could have said, we control our destiny. If we play well and we take care of business in the games that we need to, we can make sure that we're going to get this 3 seed. It's not in... They don't control their own destiny anymore. They would need to get lucky. Houston would need to help them out a ton. It's not worth focusing on right now. What is maybe worth focusing on is the health of Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors, because Kevin Durant 2 nights ago hurt his knee in like the opening minute of the Warriors game, and he has, I believe, I don't want to get, you know what, I don't want to get the diagnosis wrong and spread misinformation, but he has a knee injury, and they thought it might be major. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted, the Warriors are thinking in terms of months, not weeks, which is telling. And then it turned out to not be that major. So he's going to miss 4 weeks and then be reevaluated, which means basically April 1st, 2 weeks left in the regular season, they're going to reevaluate him and see can he come back then and get a couple regular season games. Will he be back in time for the playoffs? Will he join the team during the playoffs? Maybe he'll be out the entire time. We don't know. But I would assume that it wouldn't be too long after that April 1st that he'd either play a couple of regular season games to get back in rhythm or at least be back sometime early on in the playoffs. The reason this matters, though, is because the San Antonio Spurs are only 3 losses back of the Golden State Warriors. And where previously we thought, yeah, you know, 3 losses isn't that far, but the Spurs aren't catching the Warriors. Now, without Kevin Durant, people are starting to say that the Warriors could potentially drop enough games to fall behind San Antonio. I'm personally not convinced that it will happen. I don't think it will happen. I think the Warriors, even without Durant, are still very much a good enough basketball team to take care of business and lock up the 1 seed, especially knowing that the West is essentially 7 teams deep. There are 7 really good quality basketball teams in the Western Conference this year. Even, you know, the teams that you would consider 6 and 7, Memphis and Oklahoma City. Memphis and Oklahoma City are both really scary. They're both really good teams. But the eighth team in the conference, which is looking increasingly like it's going to be the Denver Nuggets, although Sacramento and Minnesota are both right there, Dallas is making a surge, and New Orleans, who New Orleans is kind of way back, but because of the new talent that they added into Marcus Cousins, you think maybe they can really pull away from the pack. The thing about Denver is even though they have a 4-loss lead over New Orleans, Denver's below 500. So they're going to lose a bunch more games. So if New Orleans could play 600 ball the rest of the way, they'd probably easily make it or get close. But people are talking, are the Warriors going to drop down to the 2 seed? Because I even saw on ESPN today watching The Jump with Rachel Nichols, she was saying that she thinks because Kevin Durant is out, instead of pushing the other guys a little bit harder to make sure that they keep pace, the Warriors are going to say, we can't afford to lose anyone else. Let's settle down. We already clinched a playoff spot. We'll limit minutes. We'll rotate sitting guys. And we'll, you know, how it happened, it'll happen how it happens. And we have a ton of confidence come playoff time, no matter what. That's an interesting approach. I'm not sure that it's a wrong approach. It's not something that I would personally go for, but if they do that, yeah, then they could fall. They're not going to fall lower than two. There's a 6-loss gap between the Spurs and the Rockets. And there's no way that a team is going to, no one 3 or down is going to jump one of those teams that's 1 or 2. That's just not happening. And it looks now as though Houston is pretty solidly iced in at 3. So the Clippers' range of motion is basically between 4, 5, 6, and 7. If the Warriors drop to 2, 4 is looking like really the place to be, because Utah is a friendly matchup for the Clippers. The Clippers are 15-1 against the Jazz in the Chris Paul era. They held them to 75 and 72 points in 2 meetings so far this season. And the Clippers bench beat the Jazz in Utah in one of the last games of the season last year, with Utah fighting for a playoff spot. If Utah had won that game against the Clippers subs, they would have made the playoffs. And with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan at home on their couches in L.A., the Clippers bench flew to Utah and knocked them out of the playoffs. Now that game doesn't really mean anything, but it's like just another example. 15-1 over the last 5 years. 75 and 72 games in 2 meetings this year. That's probably the matchup that the Clippers feel best about in the top 7 in the West. And the Spurs might not be the second best, but as far as second round opponents, the Clippers, it definitely seems like, would pick the Spurs over the Warriors or the Rockets. So if the Spurs jump up to 1, the Warriors fall down to 2, the Clippers would love to be at 4 and host the Jazz, and then going against the Spurs is basically the best second round matchup that they could hope for. It's what ideally you would have been hoping for by pushing for the 3 seed. Again, I'm not convinced that San Antonio is going past Golden State, but it's at least something to watch in the coming weeks, depending on, does San Antonio push for the 1 seed, knowing that Oklahoma City in 2-7 is a tough matchup, but Denver in 1-8 is kind of a freebie. Maybe. Does Golden State really try to stay in the 1 seed so that they can try to get what would essentially be like a first-round bye against the Nuggets instead of having to play a tough series against Russell Westbrook and the Thunder or the Memphis Grizzlies, depending on who ends up in that 7 spot? Who knows? Something to watch. Now, on that Warriors note, just one last thing I want to note before I wrap up this episode. Matt Barnes is a Golden State Warrior again. He's signing with them. They had Briante Weber, who's like a young defensive stud from the D League. If you're like a really, really, really diehard Clippers fan, you might remember in their first Summer League game this year, they played the Miami Heat. And David Michonneau, the French point guard that the Clippers own the draft rights to, really struggled against the Heat. And part of it was because Briante Weber, who is like a fringe NBA guy and a really good pesky defender, was the Miami Heat Summer League point guard. Well, Briante Weber was on the Warriors, And he was playing well, and the guys liked him, and the fans liked him. But the team decided to let him go and sign Jose Calderon when Calderon got bought out by the Los Angeles Lakers. And then Kevin Durant got hurt. So the team decided to sign Matt Barnes to add wing depth instead of signing Calderon. They still signed him so that he'll get like his $250,000 or whatever. But they basically like signed him at 5 p.m., cut him at 7 p.m., and then signed Matt Barnes. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, the Clippers should have signed Matt Barnes. But, you know, I'm not going to say the Clippers really wanted him because I don't know. I don't know. We never heard that the Clippers were pursuing him. We didn't know that they were in talks. And I certainly don't know anything beyond what's been publicly reported as far as this instance of the Clippers pursuing Matt Barnes in buyout season goes. But what I do know is that even if they did pursue him, it probably didn't matter. Because what I talked about on this podcast earlier this week or late last week when we were first getting into buyout talks was that the reason the Clippers probably hadn't signed Matt Barnes yet, if they were still going to, or the reason to believe that there may be hope even though they hadn't made a move yet, was because this deadline, players had to be waived by midnight March 1st. So by midnight yesterday, players had to be waived in order to sign with another team for the playoffs. So you can sign with a team up until the last day of the regular season and play for them in the playoffs. But you cannot be on a team past midnight of March 1st and then be cut by that team and play for a different team in the playoffs. There were some buyouts that were reached as late as today. No, Jose Calderon cleared waivers today, but he was bought out 2 days ago. I don't know if there were any buyouts today. I wasn't super on Twitter, but in the past, there have been buyouts reached literally in the 11th hour of March 1st. And there's on occasion some where a team doesn't buy out the guy until March 2nd because they specifically don't want him going and playing in the playoffs for an opponent. But the Clippers, if they were going to cut a guy and make a roster spot, they were going to wait until March 1st to see who became available. Because it's not like Matt Barnes is the cream of the crop at 37 years old, shooting 32% from deep, inconsistent on defense, was arrested earlier this year. And as far as Matt Barnes, from his perspective, he's not going to sign with the Clippers 5 days early when he doesn't know who's going to come calling. And other teams aren't going to come calling, again, until they know what's happening on buyout day. And if the Clippers did call Matt Barnes and there was mutual interest but they waited, it's probably a good thing for him that he waited, because if you see his posts on Instagram, he definitely would have rather been a Warrior than been a Clipper. He was a part of the We Believe Warriors when they upset the number one seed Dallas Mavericks, and it's like his heart is with that franchise and that fan base. And that's something that I had never realized about Matt before. I thought that he might even be more loyal to the Clippers because he had been here recently and his sons live in Los Angeles. But clearly by seeing his posts, if he could have picked anywhere in the world to be playing basketball, it was going to be for the Golden State Warriors. So in that sense, I'm happy for him that he got that. And certainly it's a good thing if he had offers on the table that he waited, because something random happened and there we go. He got what he wanted. But that's why I don't think there's much room to criticize Doc over not signing Matt Barnes, because again, we don't know what happened with Barnes' free agency, if there was interest, if there wasn't interest. We also don't really know, like, as far as Barnes' arrest goes, if that caused some teams to stay away. I'm not trying to speak poorly about Matt at all in any sense, because I have come to like Matt Barnes, even though he obviously has had issues in the past with getting arrested. I think that his heart has generally seemed to be in the right place, and I see all the posts with his son, and he seems to me like he's a really good father, and so maybe he's had some difficult spots and done some things that aren't even excused by his difficult spots. He's done things that are bad no matter where he's coming from. But, you know, it's not like I'm trying to sit here on the podcast and say that he's a bad man and rotten to his core. That's not what I'm about when it comes to Matt Barnes. But I think it's at least worth mentioning, that we don't know exactly what's happening, like some league insiders in front offices may. And if you're not desperate, like the Warriors are now desperate because Kevin Durant is going to be out for at least a month, maybe you don't take that gamble in your locker room. And maybe guys like Allen Anderson and Brandon Bass are really great in the locker room, and maybe you don't think that you were going to be able to use Matt Barnes in your rotation ahead of Brandon Bass and Luke Mbamute, so you didn't want to bring him in anyway. Maybe you desperately wanted to bring him in, but the Warriors wanted him too, and he wanted to go to the Warriors more. So that's, you know, I don't want to form crazy judgments from the outside with incomplete information. I feel like a lot of people are like, oh man, Doc is so awful, he didn't sign Barnes. It's like, well, was it possible for the Clippers general manager to sign Barnes? We don't know. So that seems like a little extreme thing to be criticizing him over. I said to, I made a joke. So someone in the Clips Nation comment said, this was the last straw. I no longer trust GM Doc. He didn't sign Matt Barnes. And someone was like, really? Not signing Matt Barnes for 25 games in buyout season is what put you over the edge? And I said, if you're this mad about Matt Barnes, let me tell you about a guy named Jeff Green that they traded a first-round pick for. So it's, you know, it is what it is. That's the last thing I really wanted to mention on this episode. I want to make sure I got towards talking about that whole Matt Barnes thing and him choosing the Warriors. I don't want to say choosing them over the Clippers, because we don't know if the Clippers were even an option for him. But that's that. And with that being that, that is the end of our episode, too. We're wrapping up Thursday's episode, and we'll be back tomorrow with our last episode of the week, Friday, March 3rd. You can tweet at me with any feedback, any input, any questions. I know I got a lot of tweets during the game today, but I wasn't super active on Twitter. But you can always tweet at me at LucasJHan, and you can always email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. I know I got at least one listener email today, but I didn't get a chance to look over it yet. But maybe I'll talk about that a little bit in the next episode. And if you want to just chat Clippers, you can always tweet at ClipsNationSBN, where myself or one of the other Clips Nation editors will reply to you. If you want to read my articles on ClipsNation.com or the articles of the other wonderful Clips Nation writers, check it out. Yeah, ClipsNation.com. And that's that. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.